Brother Elton gave wonderful prayer this evening, and he mentioned in that prayer about our service and our service to God and Christ and our service to each other and our service to our fellow man. That pretty much wraps up my lesson for tonight. But we'll go through some scripture, hopefully, and help to encourage us and enforce those premises about our service as Christians. So as on the board, we're talking about a servant tonight, and readings from James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. We definitely went through this last time I had the lesson in the afternoon about James being this James who wrote this, most probably being the half-brother of Jesus Christ. And a well-respected leader at the church in Jerusalem. But yet he calls himself a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we talk about a servant, you know, this word is translated from a Greek word, which, depending on the context, could sort of mean some different things. The New King James Version translates it as a bond servant, or one who is a servant because of a debt. There are other translations that also translate this word as basically what it really is, the literal translation of a slave. And so when people back then would have used this word, it would have conjured up in their mind a relationship between a slave and a lord or a master or something of that effect, or even a boss could have been thought of in this relationship as it might relate to us today. So when we use this word, it could mean several different things depending on the context. Sometimes the word is used in a very negative way. Sometimes the word is used in a very positive way. The way we need to look at it as Christians definitely is in a positive way. Not one, in a way, so to speak, to where we are forced to be these servants or these slaves, so to speak, bond servants, but that this is a voluntary service. Paul also, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, spoke of himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. And in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul opened this letter with himself and Timothy being called servants of Jesus Christ. And then also Peter himself, the wonderful apostle Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, opened his second letter as a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And so though these men were leaders in the early church, well-respected, of course, they preferred to describe themselves as servants of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, of course, today, we as Christians would like no more, no less than also to be called a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being a servant is what a disciple of Jesus is really called to be. Jesus himself stressed this truth on several occasions. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 8 through 12, Jesus said, "But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." So Jesus gave this idea of those who would be greatest among the brethren, among the disciples, among Christians, would love to be called servants. In John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. Jesus speaking, so after he had washed, this is an example of Jesus, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So Jesus says that this example is something that can make us happy as Christians, as disciples. To know that a servant is not greater than his Lord. And so Jesus, because of that, gave this example of a lowly service. A service of love, a service of gratitude, a service of comfort, a service of welcoming back in that day and time. He says, if I, as your Lord, am willing to do this and give an example and want to do this for you, then this is an example for you that you should want to be one who is of service to your brethren as well. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28, But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. The context of these verses are when the mother of James and John essentially basically asked Christ, you know, hey, let my son sit on one side of you and on the other side of you when you come into your kingdom. And, you know, Jesus had some words about that before this, but he used this as an example to his disciples to say, okay, I understand it's natural for humans to want to be great, to want to do a good job, to want to be in the highest places. But he said, as my disciples, if you really want to be great, then you're going to want to minister unto, to help those who are in need of your brethren. And you're going to want to be servants to them. And this isn't a service that is, again, out of obligation, but it's a voluntary service of love, because that is the kind of service that Jesus gave as an example to his disciples. We, as Christians, are called to serve God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. The writer says, How much more shall the blood of Christ, who we are very thankful for, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The reason for Christ's sacrifice, Christ's blood sacrifice, so that we might be purged from dead works and serve a living God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, we are called to serve. Let a man so account of us, as Paul would write, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Paul talked about the apostles, those prophets of the day of old, as stewards of the mysteries of God, but also as ministers, or this word again, servants of Christ. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 17 and 18, we are called to serve. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. We are called to serve righteousness in our lives. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, we are called to serve. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Yes, sometimes brethren will focus on this liberty, and they may expand it to places to where it doesn't, where it is not approved. But regardless, this liberty, this freedom, freedom from sin, which Christ has allowed us to partake of, is not a liberty for an occasion to flesh, for an occasion to earthly or carnal things, but it's a liberty for an occasion to, through love, serve one another. Being a servant is a mark of spiritual maturity. An immature person is usually very selfish, and this may not be of their, you know, real own volition. It may simply be because they are immature and they are selfish. Sometimes little children are like this. Of course, little children are dependent upon their parents for their safety, for their food, for their shelter, for their clothes, for their teaching. And so children sort of start out selfish. And we recognize this. We understand this. They are dependent. And it's a mark of immaturity. But service, where we sort of flip that to the other way, to where we enjoy serving people, to where we enjoy serving God, to where we enjoy serving Christ, each other, righteousness, these are marks of spiritual maturity. So if we don't see these kind of marks in our life, then we may not be on the road to maturity, spiritual maturity, like we need to be. Some things to think about. Being a servant has a few implications for us. It implies voluntary obedience. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Paul wrote, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Obedience is an implication of servitude. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. In Luke's version, essentially, of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Essentially, he was talking to his disciples when he said this. Servants imply obedience. But it also implies humility. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Paul wrote, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Paul the apostle calling himself the least of all the apostles. Well, if you ask me, the least of all the apostles is still pretty good. But in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, he said, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Okay, well, Paul just took it a little bit further there by saying he's less than least of all saints. But he even takes it further when he writes his letter to Timothy. And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, "Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. A servant implies one who is humble, who is meek. And again, we're talking about voluntary service, voluntary servitude, service of love. This service also implies voluntary loyalty to those they serve. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul wrote, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Here Paul is essentially bringing out the truth to his readers that we can't serve two masters. And so we will be loyal to one, or we will be loyal to the other. But we cannot be loyal to multiple masters. Being a servant indeed is a great honor. Far from being a title of dishonor, which some people may want to bring to it, it was the title by which the greatest men of the Old Testament were known. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 27. "Remember thy servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin." This was Moses pleading with God, or recounting his pleading with God. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 53, "For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest out our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God." Joshua chapter 24, verse 29. "And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old." Of course, Joshua being the one who gave that very famous quote, you know, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." And finally in Job chapter 1, verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" How wonderful it would be if God looked upon us as equals of these great men. Not equals in the sense of necessarily what they had to go through, what they had to do, but equals in the sense of having an attitude of a voluntary service to God and for us to Christ and our brethren and to righteousness and to our fellow man. Sometimes it's hard for me to think of ways that I might spread the gospel. And getting this lesson together made me think, you know, maybe if I, in my conversations with people, realized maybe where a need was, whether it be small or large. But if I realize that need, think of it as an opportunity that God is presenting me with a door to spread the gospel. And so, as I relate to people, whether it's in my workplace or whether it's in school, no matter where, strike up a conversation, just even a short one. You know, how's your day going? How was your weekend? I asked Brother Dennis, you know, how was his week earlier? If anything exciting had happened. And, you know, he told me, well, we came up and mowed the lawn. But even something small like that. You know, maybe I could help my brother mow the lawn sometime, which I haven't done here. And so when we think in those aspects, it might help us to spread the gospel even to those who are outside of our congregation here. You know, maybe I could send a letter to someone who might be having a hard time through this pandemic. Just things like that. Service doesn't have to be hard. Sometimes we think it's going to be big, or it has to be big, but it doesn't have to be. That's it for my lesson. I hope that something has been said to help us along in our sojourn here in this earth as Christians. If there is one who needs to hearken to the call of the gospel, won't you come tonight while we stand and sing?